Welcome to the PRISM Education Center podcast. PRISM Education Center is a K-12 school committed to building principled leaders through sound values, solid culture, and strong community. PRISM Education Center is a Northgate school, and this is our podcast.
Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Misty Newcomb, and this is the PRISM Podcast. Today, I have several special guests with me. I have my husband, Clay Newcomb.
Hello.
I have my very good friends, Josh.
Hiya.
And Christy.
Hello.
Spillmaker. And today, we are going to be talking about how to build your family culture. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the shift that has occurred through in the U.S. and all over the world, where families are now spending more time together than ever. And while there are certain implications for that that are very positive, it's also one of those implications is actually that this is a season where there can be a lot more focused effort on building your families. We've talked about boundaries. We've talked about walking your kids through this crisis. But at the end of the day, it's going to be pretty hard to implement those things if you don't have a strong family culture. And so what we want to talk about today is how to build a strong sense of family culture and why this is a great time to do it. And so whether we are
in probably no better time in history.
Probably no better time in history. Truth. What we wanted to do today is just talk a little bit about family identity and family culture and how you can use that as a tool to move your family forward in this situation, and that there's really no better time than now when you're all together to build that. So, Christy, earlier we were talking about how you would define family identity or family culture, and you said some things that I thought were really valuable. What does it mean to you to have a family identity or a family culture?
Yeah, I think when I think about what a family identity or culture, and you know, feel free to jump in, anyone, if you have something to add to that. But it starts out with kind of just a sense of who you are as a family. So we're the Spielmakers, and if you were to ask our kids, you know, what are some key definers of our family, of the Spielmakers, right. And they could list off probably two or three things that are super important to us and kind of have are present in most everything that we do. And so one of those, I think, would be, how we value people. That's something that's, you know, been a part of who Josh and I are from.
Right.
We've learned that from our parents. Mm-hmm. And that's been very important to us in our marriage. And then to build that inside of our kids. And we want that to be a hallmark of when people interact with the Spielmakers, that they feel valued and they feel loved. And,
right.
And so what inside of that, we use those opportunities knowing that that's something that we want to build inside of our kids. We've done things in the past like that would mean if we value people, then we spend time with people.
Right.
And so we've taught our kids inside of that. Well, to spend time with people is a joy and it's fun and we get to do lots of great things. There's also an element of when you value people, there's personal sacrifice involved in it. So since they were little, if people were coming over to the house, they were involved in making sure the bathroom was clean or, yeah. You know, because they had to invest in that thing, just like Josh and I were investing in it. So just as an example of one area, but building identity and building a family culture is saying, here are the things that our family values.
Right.
Here's like a list of two or three things that kind of takes, you know, that took dialogue for Josh and I and time for discovery.
Yeah. And I think that part of the reason I actually wanted you guys on here is that we sort of grew up together, mm-hmm. not like literally when we were little kids, but we were really close friends when our kids were very little. Yeah. And David and Willow, my oldest, your second born, had the same due date.
Yeah.
And so we kind of really raised our kids right alongside each other. And one of the things that was always notable to me was your family culture and just the strength mm-hmm. of it and how going to school together for the last 9 years at PRISM, there's been a real just obvious strength inside of your family. And I think other people can see that. How you kind of alluded to it at the end, but tell us a little bit about the process for like, how did y'all build that? Like Josh, what were some of the ways that you guys practically built that sense of, I mean, did you sit down with your kids and say, kids, here are the rules for the Spielmakers. we value people, or what did that look like?
Well, I think like Christy said, those were things that were really instilled into us by our families. Both our families have been very relational. And that was imparted to us as something that was not just fun or something we liked, but something that we almost had a calling to do.
Right, right.
There was a calling inside of our family to really care for people. And so, you know, when Christy and I got married and we started having kids, inside of doing that, you know, we had lots of conversations about the things that were important to us. Even before we got married, we had conversations about what our home would be like and what things were important to us. And so inside of our home, you know, it's very important for us. We have some key things that help us build that culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first thing that we know is that, we can't build culture in our family if our marriage culture is not right. So we know that the primary relationship that allows us to build that culture in our home is me and Christy's marriage and our relationship together. If something's off in there, we won't be able to transfer that down to our children.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They will, you know, kids can sniff out, something that isn't genuine very easily.
Right.
And so they know that our relationship is solid and that our relationship with them is solid because of that. So, you know, that's a primary thing for us. And then, you know, just kind of going down into building that culture into our family requires that Christy and I really partner together. You know, it's not Christy marching through the house telling us what to do. It really is a sense of us working together. I can't be absent, you know, sitting in the office working on something while she's building culture in the home. It has to be, the husband and the wife have to be on the same page. So we have talked to our kids about those things that are important and involve them in it.
Yeah.
You know, not just, hey, relationships are important, so we're going to do this, this, and this. It's like relationships are important. What does that look like for us?
Yeah.
And allow them to even be on that journey with us.
Yeah. But we exemplified it first, right?
Exactly.
First they saw it happen.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
that's just it. Your children will become what you are.
Right.
Yeah.
So you could have these like fake android parents that were sent to like parent kids that had all the right answers, had all the right disciplinary actions. But if there really was, you know, if these really were just robots and droids, your kids would be messed up. Like your kids become what the parents are.
Right.
You know?
And I think what I hear Josh and Christy and Clay saying is first, it starts with you guys have to have a strong connection and some agreement about what the culture of your home is.
Yeah.
Cause not every family is going to have hospitality as a massive, you know, factor in their home, and that's okay.
Yep.
But you have to have some agreement and it can't just be one parent doing it. And I think a lot of times in our culture anyway, there is an emphasis on mothers to, kind of be the busy bees and the connectors and the people who make things happen in a home. And certainly I think women have a big role in building the culture of the home, but it can't just be mom saying, hey, let's all go do this. Let's go serve the community. Let's open our home up. It has to be mom and dad together and the husbands have to be
a distant and disconnected father will produce distant and disconnected sons.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. You really have to be on the same page and you have to, individually, I know in our marriage, individually have to make some sacrifices and some shifts in your own preferences to come to agreement. You can't just say, one of you can't say, well, no, this is how we're going to do it. And the other one say, no, this is how we're going to do it. You do it my way, but you have to come to some ground where you can say, we're going to compromise, but these are the things we're going to push together as a home.
Yep.
And so your home values were things like your love for people and your care for people. Nuke, do you have any things inside of our home that you want to share in terms of like, or other homes you've seen that are like defining characteristics of cultures? Or,
you know, I think we value hard work. We value integrity. Mm-hmm. I mean, these would be things that the Spillmakers would do too, but I think every home would have a set, you know, a high list of characteristics that are honored and noble inside the home. And I think those are things that you know, hard work, integrity, fun.
Yeah.
Like we have a lot of just fun inside of our house.
Yeah. Yeah. Service
and,
to
and
others.
And there's things that we honor and openness and communication are big.
Yeah.
I know it's big with the Spillmakers too, but I mean, that's, we talk a lot. You know, we're not always perfect at it, but we prioritize not you know, having the television on.
Right, right.
Being on our phones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We really have this interpersonal communication. I know when we first got married, you really wanted to have sit-down dinners. And I remember there was a time when I didn't think that was that important.
Right.
And I look back and see how foolish I was and how far I've come since that time.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, it wasn't something in our family that was highly valued to sit down every night for dinner. Well, it was for her. And at first that was, I was like, I mean, you know, just a kid, 21-year-old, you know, kid, didn't see the value in it. But now I massively do.
Yeah,
and, and I'm making her come sit down for dinner.
That's right. Yeah. And over the years, that has become a real fundamental place where we as a family build. And we have our conversations and we have those things. But early on, we said, you know, we're not going to watch TV while we eat. And we're going to sit down and we're going to take time to stop everything and just come together at night. Because it shows you love each other, and it's one of those rituals. But we did, that was a thing where we had to have conversation about it. We had to build into that and and build some rituals around it. So if you were to tell families, I think that we're kind of getting the gist of what it looks like. It's something that the husband and wife agree on, and it's something that they work together to build. You don't just tell kids we're going to do this, but you live it. You can't be hypocrites. Yeah. You can't be.
And it's not something that you just come up with overnight.
No.
It's not like you're just going to tonight sit down and just script this whole new narrative for your family.
Right.
This is like family culture is discovered as parents come into greater maturity themselves.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So as you find that architecture for your family,
right.
Everybody's so unique, you know, husbands and wives are put together on purpose and they're unique and they have strengths and they have weaknesses and they, you know, you kind of define family culture.
Right.
And so it's not like something where you just like script out the plan of what you think would be cool. It has to be genuine, authentic, and it's built in the long game.
Right.
Like if you sit down tonight and have all your kids sit around and say, we're changing the family culture, and you get out and you start writing stuff down, and then next week, the thing is crumbled, then you have deconstructed something rather than built something. So this is a little bit more long term.
Yeah, it is. And it does come from you, the parents.
Right.
I mean, it comes from within your life. Like, we care about people. We eat around the table because we care about family. Like, that is a huge value in each other. That's a big value in our home, and that's why we
Wait a minute. Maybe it's because we value food.
Yeah, it could be.
We may just be hungry.
Two birds, one stone.
That's right. So I think that's really good. I think it does come from within your life, and it goes out to your kids. It's something that's built over time. If you were to say, like, to new parents who had young kids, and you were to say, how would you go about building culture in your home? What would you say would be like the core components that you have to have?
You know, I've got three things. As we sat down and wanted to talk about this, I've got three things that I think are parental foundations for accurate building.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of just scanning my own life, thinking about what has enabled me as a father and us as a parental unit to build together. And I think it could be more robust, but to me, these are like at the top of the list for me. And number one is that parents have to have established authority inside the home. The trend of the age is to make your kids like you, to make your kids happy. And those are all okay things. Those are not priorities. And so that trend can counteract this eternal trend right here of a parent has to have authority. Your kids have to respect you. When you tell them to do something, there has to be teeth behind what has been said.
Yeah.
This is like common, normal humanity.
Yep.
So that's number one. Your kids have to respect you. And if you don't, you have to do some changing inside of who you are.
Yeah.
Not just the way you act, but who you are. So that's, you know, number one.
And I wanted to just speak to that a little bit. We talk to our teachers a lot at PRISM. That's one of the big differences when people say, what makes PRISM different? I always say it's the culture. And we talk to our teachers. The very first thing we tell them when we start to train them is the mark of whether or not you're an effective teacher is whether you have authority in your classroom. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's such a, I could tell, especially, you know, we're training younger and younger people every year. And I could tell that that idea of saying you have to be the authority in your classroom is something that feels a little bit threatening. You could see it's people don't see authority as a good thing, but authority is what keeps you safe. Authority, respect, mm-hmm. yeah. to have respect for, I'm telling you, we teach kids who are 12 years old. 12 year olds do not make great decisions. Their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed yet. They do not have the capacity to calculate risk and benefit in an efficient and effective way.
Right.
And they don't have the life experience to do that either. And so you have to have a teacher in the room, an adult in the room who is good and who has good values and who cares about them making those calls, because 12-year-olds left to themselves won't. 4-year-olds won't, for sure won't. Mm-hmm. They will not. They, you know, they're sweet and cuddly, but they won't make good decisions that weigh in all the potential risk and benefits and weigh in the best interest of everyone in the room. They just don't. That's up to the authority figures. And if you don't have that sense of, you as a parent have to take on that role in your home. And, right. and your capacity to build an effective home culture is built on whether or not you have a really strong sense of respect from your kids. And mm-hmm. They won't care about what you build if you don't have any weight behind you.
That's right. Yeah. You know, these 3 points, the first two, I think would ultimately encompass the components of really what true love is. Not like romantic love, but like love that would be from a father to son, yeah. mother to daughter. But the second one would be that you've got to have genuine relationship with your mm-hmm. kids. So the first one mm-hmm. is established authority. The second one would be genuine relationship with your kids. And to right. me, that means that, I mean, you've got to have fun with them. They've yeah. got to, you've yeah. got to enjoy them at some level. And, you know, different kids are challenges at different right. times, but mm-hmm. but you have to build real relationship. And I think that's what Josh and Christy have been so
yeah.
good at. And yeah. I've taken note of how Josh has built relationship with his kids over the years. And that is the leverage point mm-hmm. of all building inside the family right. is genuine relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Misty and I did not enjoy each other right. and love each other, we couldn't build anything. So that's like this fulcrum. So because there's these pendulums, you know, the pendulum of authoritative dictatorship,
yeah.
which some parents, to try to rein in their home and maybe try to fix a lot of stuff that's broken, they might go way far to this like authoritarian thing. Mm-hmm. Well, they may see that burns them and doesn't build anything. So they swing far back to this lovey-dovey, make your kids happy thing. That doesn't work either.
Yeah.
It's a combination of both. And neither one is compromised. They both have great strength, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Authoritarian, but also this real love and fun, enjoyment, and relationship yep. that you have with your kids. Gotta
yeah.
have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Good.
You ready for number three?
Number three, let's hear it.
Oh, man. Okay. Number three, in terms of building family culture, I think that a primary thing is, so if you have your kids' respect because you're an authority and you love them and you show that and you enjoy them, then they will want your validation. Mm-hmm. That's just the natural order of the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to be taught that. Your kids want your validation. And then you use that validation as a building tool. Just like if you
yeah.
were,
yep.
you know, I want to use a mule training analogy, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
you use that validation as a training tool to validate, honor, and reward
right.
what you value. Mm-hmm. So when your son comes in and he's weed-eated the whole yard and he's worked for 3 hours and changed the weed-eater string on his own, he walks in and you go, good job, man.
Yeah.
You did that. You stuck yep. with it. When your daughter, you know, does well on a test that she was challenged on the time before, you say, good job. That's hard work. I like that. When your kid confesses to something, you're like, thank you for being honest. I value that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you distribute that validation as a parent, like dopamine is distributed to the brain to bring satisfaction to a human. You know what I mean? It's like and that's how you build culture.
Yep.
I mean,
1, 2, 3.
Why didn't we just start with that?
Yeah.
This has all just been filler.
Yeah.
So one other thing I wanted to mention, specifically in regard to fathers.
Yeah.
I mentioned a little bit earlier about the father being involved. I think one of the key things to establishing a really solid culture in your home is sacrifice. Is when your kids see you give yourself to something that doesn't necessarily immediately benefit you. I think that changes the way a perspective on a child. And so when you do that as a father, the head of your home, and as you do it as parents, I think that shows children what is required, that investment in them,
right,
an investment into the family culture, is worth it.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was one other thing I wanted to say. And I know there may be people out there listening that maybe single parents. I was raised by a single parent. My mother was widowed when I was young, and so for almost 12 years it was just she and I.
Yeah.
And I my mom did a great job of establishing that position that Clay was talking about of being authority.
Right.
I had tremendous respect for my mom. I knew she was the authority. Mm-hmm. She didn't let me get away with things.
Right, right.
At the same time, I had so much fun with my mom. Yeah. And she was my
Deb.
Friend. And so Deb Summers comes up in almost every conversation.
You've been out Debbed.
But I've valued that thing that she put inside of me. And in even, those people out there that may be single parents and single mothers, I really connect with single mothers, just having been raised by one. I remember, if I can introduce a scripture.
Oh, you can.
I remember my mom would read a scripture when I was young, that in from Psalm 68, it says that God is a father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that goes for single parents too.
Yeah.
That God fills that void that may be there in the natural. And so that's a critical part to building culture inside of the family.
And Josh, we know your mom and we know you, and that has been something that actually has inspired me even as a mother, is the way your mom took on that. I've heard her talk about that, and that how she would read that verse and almost like hold God to it. That is just something that was real strong in her.
Yeah.
And that strength in her, you see it in you. You see that capacity that she held God to it, and he fulfilled his promise. Yeah. He took care of you.
I grew up with a very clear understanding that God wasn't just my heavenly father.
Right.
That he was the one who was fathering me. That if I crossed a boundary, I would have to answer to him.
Right.
Right. And so I've grown up with that understanding.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to just the power, really, of family culture.
Yeah.
That was a promise she held on to. That was something that she wanted for her family. And she built that in you. But it would have been much harder for you to respect your mom.
Absolutely.
If her boundaries, if her, what she demanded of you, what she expected for her family varied from day to day.
Absolutely.
Based off her emotions. And I think that's the big thing in building family culture, is that it's not even so important what you say, this is who we are, this is what we do. It's important that you have an identity as a person, as a parent, and that you impart that identity to your kids, that it's consistent. It's not something that changes from day to day. You are a respected parent. You love your kids. Mm-hmm. You want this for them. You are hard workers. You are, but the two things that are non-negotiable, your kids have to respect you, and you have to love your kids.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that are just non-negotiable. You can't build a family culture if you don't have that stuff. And husbands and wife have to respect and love each other. Mm-hmm. Kids have to see that, or else it produces bitterness in them and confusion if those things aren't all right and in order. So those two are the things.
And remember, you have to tell your kids who they are.
Yeah.
I just think about times when our kids have violated our culture as a family.
You know,
you look at your children and you say, that's not who you are.
Right.
That's not who a Spielmaker is.
Right.
And the more they hear that, the more they begin to self-analyze that through that lens.
What you're saying is there is a definition for what a Spielmaker is. That's what you're saying when you say that kind of stuff to your kids.
And that's not restrictive either.
No, that's boundaries tell your kids who they are. identity tells them who they are. And you don't want them to go look for that elsewhere. They have to have that. You have to have an identity to function.
There's a vacuum inside of humans to find identity.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they don't get it from their family, they're going to get it from somewhere. I think the trend of the age would be that to identify this kid is somehow putting them inside of a box.
Yeah.
But actually, when a child has really strong identity that comes from family, that comes from these boundaries that have been placed upon them since they were young, when they're old, when they are mature, they're really able to find their identity even more.
Right.
Because they understand how identity is built, whether they could say it with their mouth or not, you know, with words. They understand how identity is built.
Yeah.
And they understand.
It's not built off your interest or your hobbies. It's built off of these characteristics that form you on the inside.
It's not external, it's internal.
Yeah. And I think that could go back to even saying, what is identity? Identity is the internal values, the internal principles and standards you hold. And you can't build it. You can't say, well, we're a fishing family, or like, you're a big hunter. And even though hunting is a huge part of our family culture, at the end of the day, if one of our kids wasn't a hunter, it wouldn't be.
They wouldn't violate our family culture.
Right. Because that's not what our family culture. It's not built on our hobbies. It's built on character.
Values and family culture are things that cannot be shaken. Things that cannot be taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like, you could, hunting could be not existent in your family. I mean, like, you could. Yeah, I mean, it's not extra. It's not like basketball.
Right.
Well,
right.
You may injure yourself and not be able to play basketball.
Right.
Does that disqualify you from
being injured?
So it's not external stuff. It's not external stuff. It's internal stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to have to find a new family.
Yeah. You're going to have to go be a Spielbaker.
Yeah.
Wait, y'all play basketball?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. Ballers.
We're ballers.
Big ballers. You're right.
I'm sorry.
So I think identity is, those are good things. And so you have to, again, the parents have to embody those values first. And that's why it's not just something you put on a whiteboard at your house and recite every day. In the same way that it's not something we put on it's not just teaching your kids vocabulary. It's teaching them in difficulty. No, that's not who we are. We don't do that kind of stuff. When they cheat, nope. Newcomers don't cheat.
Family culture is also how you respond to different situations, how you respond to difficulty, how you respond to crisis, how you respond to joy, how you respond to success.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kind of things that like we're constantly building, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's good. That's good. So family culture, family identity, it's really the set of values that you build your home on, and they are discussed, they're validated, they're practiced. They start with mom and dad.
Right.
They go down into the kids.
I think too, though, that you may be a parent and you may recognize holes in your value system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Sight of an issue is the first step towards fixing it.
Yeah.
And as humans, we have this beautiful power. This beautiful ability through the help of God to transform and be something different.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this life and this journey is being something different than maybe what you thought you were.
Yeah.
And so because we're talking about, like, you can't build family culture unless you are the thing that you're building, you know? Well, that could be an intimidating statement for somebody that recognizes weakness. Well,
that's we're not where perfect either.
Personal and transformation and maturity comes in. A lot of the thing, like even me talking about, like, you know, not valuing eating at the dinner table.
Right.
Like, we could trace that back to a character trait inside of me that was weak, that is now stronger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we can change.
You know, I would say a big part of our family culture is that we're people who grow.
Yeah.
That is actually that we are people who we believe in transformation. Yeah, we believe in growth. Absolutely. We believe that mom and dad aren't done growing, kids aren't done growing, that you're not stuck with your bad habits. And so even just the kids seeing us kind of grapple and struggle through stuff.
And they do. We don't hide that from them.
No, we don't.
Until I hit 45 next year and then I'm done.
And then you're done growing. So
you don't have it figured out by then, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. So that's good. So don't be intimidated if you have character flaws. That shouldn't stop you from building a family culture and saying we're going
to
have some.
And it's good to
tomorrow.
Look for those flaws.
It's good to know where they
are.
We've
built a life around. I mean, I know Josh and Christy, Misty and I.
Yeah.
We've built a life around not going on a witch hunt for character flaws, but trying to be very aware of ourselves, unbiased, unfiltered truth that we take from others that we trust yeah. and from ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. So family culture starts at the top, goes into the kids, built on values. You have to have respect and love to get it across.
Yep.
Those would be like the four summary statements for yeah. this episode. Respect,
well
love.
Well said.
Do it first, then talk about it.
What's the acronym?
But talk about
for
it
this?
A lot. I'm not good at names. I'm not good at every academic paper I ever wrote was like two sentences long and highly descriptive, very concrete descriptions, language problems, and yeah, I'm bad at that sort of thing. So anyway, with that, we'll leave you to go build your family culture and the things.
Good luck. Report to next week.
The things that I would encourage parents to do this week is just think: what are the things that you have built in your life? What are the good things that you've built in your life that you want to pass on to your kids as an inheritance? And how do you and your spouse talk about those things and deliberately build them in your home? Because you're always building something. You're mm-hmm. always building something. And what we're trying to get families to do here and what we're trying to do in our own lives is be more deliberate about what we're building in our home and be more intentional with our kids to ensure mm-hmm. that those values that can transcend generations and that can transcend even the culture in our area, those values are the things that we're passing down to our kids. And to do that, you're going to have to consistently back it up in your personal actions and consistently back it up in what you value as evidenced by what you validate, what you reward, and what you don't validate and you don't reward inside of your home. So we wish you well, and I'm sure we'll come back to this topic again. Thanks, Josh and Christy and Clay, for joining me.
This podcast is a production of Prism Education Center. You can subscribe to this podcast through any platform you access quality podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Find out more about Prism Education Center by visiting our website at www.prismeducationcenter.org.